Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, just as the morning's three Advent candles shed light, we ask that you would also illuminate our minds as we delve into the names of the Messiah that bear witness to Christ our Lord. And so by your Spirit, guide us as we prepare for the coming of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you pray, pray in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven. Jesus instructs his disciples in the book of Matthew not to crave status or titles. And so he says, call no one rabbi, call no one father or instructor. On the cross, three times Jesus cried out to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So the $64,000 question this morning is this: why does Jesus, the Messiah and the Son of God, receive the royal title and throne name Everlasting Father? Isn't it a stretch to call Jesus Everlasting Father? At face value, yes, it is. But when we look at how Jesus functions in our lives, it makes more sense. So we need to go, first of all, to the Hebrew Scriptures. In Psalm 68, we read about God the Father's one of his most important tasks, and that's caring for the orphan and the vulnerable. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation, the psalmist says. So we then flip forward in our Bibles, moving on into the New Testament and then into the fourth gospel, the gospel according to John chapter 14. And then Jesus speaks to his disciples before his death and his resurrection, saying this: I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. Now, it was a common phrase in Jesus' day to describe a disciple without a rabbi as orphaned. Picture's getting a little more focused now. The Son, the newborn King born for us, will take on a fatherly role for the people that are entrusted to his care. The title Everlasting Father, it's starting to pop. It's starting to crackle a little bit. Jesus calls his disciples in John's gospel, my little children. My little children, love one another. Jesus also says, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. I and the Father are one, says Jesus. Anyone who's seen the Father has seen me. You see, there's a unity of purpose. There is a oneness of heart. Before the ascension in Matthew, Jesus says this to his disciples: lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. So let's hear now the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 9 that we've been looking at all throughout this Advent season, verses 6 through 7. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. Looking back at the greatest Christmas gifts I've received in my life, I thank my Father in heaven that I've been given a loving earthly father and earthly mother. My folks have given me plenty of examples of how to do it right. So I want to do a shout out. My folks are up in Scottsdale right now, but I want to do a shout out. Mom and Dad, I love you. Thank you. It's my turn now, right? Adulting 101. I've got to pass this on to my kids now. Sometimes it's easy, right? Sometimes it's a little harder. I'm in a little harder season right now. I'm going to be vulnerable with all of us this morning. I've been stretched. I'm being stretched. Even I woke up a little bit last night thinking about this. Stretched out of my comfort zone. I'm still working through it. Definitely haven't arrived, okay? But let me give you some context to the struggle that I'm going through in my life. I'm not a dog guy, okay? And I've never had a pet dog my whole life. I know. Thank you. Now, I've gotten better over the years, but I've always felt a smidgen awkward around a dog. I have to stretch myself to not be all freaked out because maybe they'll bite me because they'll smell the fear. But that's kind of been my life story. All of our cat lovers out there, if there's any of you, if you're wondering, I'd be open. I'm allergic, okay? The only pet that I've had growing up is a hermit crab.
So cuddly.
Yes. Norm, Herm and I, we bonded. We were tight. I would take him every day for his daily drag. It was very wonderful memories that I look back upon. We cuddled in bed in the mornings. So you get the picture. I'm not a dog guy. I'm just not a pet guy. Okay. But today's royal name for the Messiah, Everlasting Father, it has inspired me throughout this week. It has challenged me. It has stretched me in not only my understanding of God, but in my understanding of fatherhood and how it's connected to dogs. Let me explain. Abby, Luke, Jude, especially Phoebe, they have been hounding Sarah and I about getting a dog incessantly. We're talking full court press, ladies and gentlemen. Just to give you a clue of where it's escalated, Phoebe wrote in her connection card last week a prayer request that God would give her a dog. She's going around mom and dad, going to the big man upstairs. Okay, this is what we're looking at. So I've wrestled. I've prayed. I've complained. I've travailed. Just ask Sarah. I'm not exaggerating here. I've pleaded. I've doubted. Do I believe in the existence of dog in my house? Yes, I do. Yeah, that you don't know how much of a statement of faith that is. Now, I'm not just saying I'm dogmatic about this new belief. Not saying that. Just trying. Oh, yeah, I know. But I'm trying to be open. Do you see the struggle that I'm in here? So we're still hashing out the logistics, like timing. When should we get it? How old should it be? What's the right breed for us? The cost, responsibilities. But doggone it. I'm going to do my best to be a dog guy. Pray for me, folks. Kids, love you. Why? Because it's not about me. And that's the connection with this morning's royal title. On a much, much deeper level than I shared with you, we see God's provision for his children. And we see God's sacrificial love for his children, Everlasting Father. Now, Paul Auster writes in his memoir, The Invention of Solitude, this: you do not stop hungering after your father's love, even after you've grown up. Whether or not we've been blessed with a close relationship with our parents, or if we have a deep longing that maybe never got filled for that father connection. We all still have that longing. And in his book, he shares about how hungrily he would eat up any scraps of attention that his father would give him in his life, ever craning his neck to hear some faint echo of attention from his dad. His father didn't dislike him. He just always seemed distracted, never looking fully in his direction. He craved more than anything for his dad to take notice of him. And so Paul Auster shares about a trivial yet very significant memory in his childhood with his father. The family went to a crowded restaurant on a Sunday, and he shares that we had to wait for our table. And so my dad said, "Come on, let's go outside." And then produced a tennis ball. I don't know where he got it from, he said, but he produced a tennis ball, put a penny on the sidewalk, and proceeded to play a game with me. Hit the penny with the tennis ball. In retrospect, he shares, nothing could have been more trivial. And yet, the fact that I had been included, that my father casually asked me to share his boredom with him, nearly crushed me with happiness. Paul Auster would spend the rest of his life looking for that connection again. Sons and daughters of every age, have a father hunger. It's a human longing we have. Some say the oldest story is the human search to find a father. Thomas Wolfe, in Look Homeward, Angel, said that our central search in life is this: to find a father. Not merely a father of his flesh, not merely the lost father of his youth, but the image of strength and wisdom, external to his need and superior to his hunger, to which the belief and power of his own life could be united. And this is why the title Everlasting Father is so important to us. Everlasting in that we see permanence in it. We experience it. Solidity that we long for in our lives. Faithfulness through the days and through the years. Unconditional. A God who is always by our side through the ups and the downs, through thick and thin, everlasting. Father, meaning all that's good in a father, all that a father figure or a mentor or a guide is supposed to do, of what it's all about: provision, protection, security, caring towards his children, knowing when to say yes and when to say no. Present, engaged, not blasé. Shepherding, providing guidance and oversight, boundaries, tough and tender. Forgiving and affirming. Healthy leadership. Concern and commitment for the other person's best. Sacrificial love and training us to grow into maturity. It's a fatherhood that endures forever that God gives us. And so God shows us what a healthy father does. Our earthly understandings of father are just based upon God's expression of it. And our God is a God who moves beyond anger and frustration with his children, and he just lavishes them with love. That's our God. God's love has come near to us in the Messiah, in Christ. Jesus shows us God's sacrificial love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to die for us, sacrificial. Jesus tells one of the most famous father stories in his parables. Any idea? The parable of the prodigal son. I love how author James K.A. Smith, that he retells it in his excellent book, On the Road with St. Augustine. I want to share a little bit of it with you. So despondent, you can't even voice it. You nonetheless wonder timidly and desperately, would my father ever take me back? By some grace inexplicable, you start on your way back home. And as you're yet again rehearsing the long speech that's three parts apology and two parts plea for reinstatement, you're bowled over when that father of yours comes running and gathers you up into his arms while your head is down, and your mother later tells you he walked to the end of the road every single day waiting for you. Let's have a feast and celebrate, the father cries out, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Everlasting Father. This is the everlasting Father we long for. And Emmanuel, this is the good news. This is our everlasting Father. This is grace. Jesus is the way that God runs out to meet us, his prodigal sons and his prodigal daughters. He fills our father hunger. He heals our father wounds. We are at home with God. St. Augustine had a rough relationship with his earthly father. His father was a disappointment both to Augustine and to his mother, Monica. In many ways, Augustine, as he became older, became like his father, kind of a generational sin. Augustine fathered a child outside of wedlock. But thanks to the prayers of his faithful mother, Santa Monica, and God's intervention, Augustine came to faith. You might remember from his confessions. He heard a sing-song voice of a child in the garden saying, take and read, take and read. And so he saw a book of the Bible, opened it up to Romans, read from it, believed. The rest is history. Now the time came for Augustine to present himself for baptism to Bishop Anselm. But he also adds a touching detail in his journals and writings of including his son Adeodatus in his baptism. Praying to God, he speaks of his son. Listen here, this is Augustine. We included him, meaning my son, we included him in your gift of baptism, so that being born again with us, he was the same spiritual age as me. For both of us to be raised together in your training. See, in the church, Augustine found not only God the Father, but he also found father figures in his life. Augustine wrote Bishop Ambrose of Milan, saying, he took me up as a father takes up a new baby in his arms, and he prized me. See, this is the beauty of our Christian faith and the beauty of the church, why we need to gather together, fathers and mothers and children receiving healing from our everlasting Father. When we maybe can't have resolution with our earthly parents that we long for, God can help us forgive and move forward. Through the church, then God gives us new fathers and mothers, new brothers and new sisters and new sons and daughters who choose without obligation, who love without reservation, and are present when others are absent, who knows us and still loves us. And all of this, by the grace and the miracle of our God, all of us are being fashioned, we're being formed in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Everlasting Father. Amen.